Thank you for joining us this afternoon for our very first Windows 8 app mashup series. In our first series, we will be exploring the wonderful world of APIs with a look at the Mastery API. So today will be hosted by myself, Maria Nagaga, and I'm a technical evangelist here in New York. Amit Jadwani, who is a developer evangelist at Mastery, and the lovely Jim O'Neill, who is a technical evangelist here at Microsoft. Please place all your questions and comments on our Facebook page, and Bob Familia will be over there to answer any questions that you might have. So let's get right into it. App ideas are everywhere, and APIs provide us with the opportunity to build meaningful applications. So when I think about building apps, I think about how I can leverage several APIs to build a single application to provide a consumer the more enriching experience. So let's have a look at these three APIs. We have TomTom, which is a map-based service API. Active Access, that gives you access to all kind of activities that you would need. And then we have Rotten Tomatoes, which I'm sure all of you have used, and I'll be using it to figure out whether I want to watch the World of War zombie movie. When you look at these three APIs, you might be wondering, where's the app here? So when I try to come up with an app idea, I try to formulate a sentence around it. So I came up with this sentence. Let's go for a bike ride and go see a movie afterwards. So it's a little bit random, but it works. Using the grid template, I built a prototype application which uses the Active Access API to provide the cycling activities and uses the movies Rotten Tomato API to provide movies. So if we click at the Brooklyn Cycling Crusaders, I actually used Bing Maps to get all the geolocation, which was providing the Active Access API, to plot all the activities in the area, as well as put up a cinema near you. Then using TomTom, it will route it out for you. The API mashup project is all about creating great apps. This is a wonderful project that was inspired by us as technical evangelists with our engagement in the community. So we're going to all these wonderful events where we're meeting wonderful people at Mastery and seeing how people were using APIs to create awesome applications. So as a team, we sat down together and we built over a dozen starter kits that leverage popular APIs, of which a lot of them are in Mastery. And you can use these APIs to publish your own unique apps. So get to building as soon as you can. So please visit our repository, which is right over here, and start pulling down starter kits. You'll find starter kits with XML and C#, as well as HTML5 and JavaScript. I hope you have a really cool time doing all this. So the wonderful world of APIs. APIs have reimagined the way we interact with information. With a simple call to a web service, a developer has all the information they need to build an application with the blink of an eye. Your aspiration is all in the data. The data gives us the opportunity to create awesome applications. So let me give you an example. So I love to do Zumba these days. I absolutely love it. But I'm relatively new to the area where I'm living. So I could use the Active Access API to pull all the Zumba information. Then using an API like Peer Index, I can actually reach out to my friends and community to help me figure out which Zumba class I should go for. So it's your own rating app. It's a great application idea, and I hope somebody builds it. Simply put, data is the developer's muse. That being said, all good stories do have a cautionary tale. Not all APIs are created equally. Some APIs are more equal than others. For example, when you're looking at the API you're going to be using, there are a couple of questions you need to ask yourself. Does it throttle well? How many calls can you make? And most importantly, what kind of data are you receiving? Also, it is important to read the terms and conditions. You don't want to build an awesome app and figure out that you're using the data wrong. For example, if you're using the Rotten Tomato app, you can't necessarily create a ticketing app. That would be a no-no situation. And this is something that happened to me. Test before you code. So I recently started using APIs, and one of the biggest mistakes that I made was I decided that I wanted to pull images into my application. But what ended up happening was the API that I picked didn't have very good images. So the final result was the wonderful grid view, but I had a lot of X boxes in between because there were no images to be called. So make sure to test before you actually commit everything into code. That being said, I'm so happy to introduce Amit Jadwani from Mashery, and you can take it on from there, Amit. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Maria. Hi, guys. My name is Amit Jodhpani. I'm a developer evangelist for a company called Mashery. Let me make sure you guys can see my screen. All right. So I work for Mashery. Mashery is essentially an API management company. We help companies like New York Times, Best Buy, Rotten Tomatoes, TomTom, and Active manage their APIs. So that essentially means that when you all as developers make calls to any of these APIs, it flows through Mashery's proxy network, and that gives all these companies the ability to manage their APIs. So they can set rate limits, data throttling. Since everything goes through Mashery, they also get a ton of reporting around it as to who's using their API, how are they using their APIs, what are some of the popular resource calls being made? And from a developer point of view, what that gives you is it gives you access to a ton of APIs. And that means that you have immediate access to every API that's publicly available. And that I think is important because being a developer myself, I know that most of us are hacking on a Friday evening with a bottle of beer in our hand sometimes, and we don't want to wait for someone to approve the keys manually on a Monday morning. So all of Mashery's APIs are provisioned automatically, so the moment you sign up for a publicly available API, you get the API key immediately. So things like that is what the Mashery's platform provides. Maria mentioned that you need to test your code before you start using that API specifically for your app. I couldn't agree with that more. When I started using, getting into the API world, I realized that just understanding an API was taking a lot of time. As developers, we want to reduce the amount of time it takes to read the documentation. We want to actually do more, code more, and we don't want to like read as much. So based on that, what we did at Mashery was we have a tool that we call the Mashery API Explorer, or the IODocs. Now, what this tool does is it's a really nice interactive way to get started with APIs. If you are new to APIs, if you've never played around with APIs, or even if you are familiar with the API world, but there's a new API you want to explore, the IODocs or the API Explorer is a great way to do that. So if you go to developer.mashery.com/IODocs, you will see this screen, and as you can see, there would be a list of all the APIs that are using Mashery's platform. That means that you have access to all of these APIs. So let's go ahead and select, for instance, Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I think you need to actually share out your desktop. Sorry to interrupt.
I'm so sorry. One second.
Okay.
All right. Hopefully, you can see my screen now.
It'll be coming up in just a moment.
Okay.
You can go ahead and continue. It'll be coming up just momentarily here. It's just about to start. Sorry for the delay.
No, thanks for pointing it out. So I'm going to go ahead and choose Rotten Tomatoes, for instance. So let's click on Rotten Tomatoes. Now, Mashree also provides a single sign-on ID. What that means is, say, for instance, I sign up to get an API key for Rotten Tomatoes. I now can get an API key for Edmunds or other APIs that Mashree has. I don't need to sign up for a different username and password. One single username and password gives me access to all of Mashree's APIs. All I need to do is get an API key for that specific API. So since I'm signed in already into using Mashree's username and password, my API key is populated already. So I'm going to select the API key. And it gives me a list of all the endpoints that are available for this Rotten Tomatoes API. Let's say I want to find out what are the top box office movies. So as you can see, it gives me the list of parameters that are available for this API. And I can make changes to these APIs, these parameters. Let's say I want to get 3 movies, only US. See the results. I'm going to hit this try it button. And what that does is it's going to make a live API call to Rotten Tomatoes, and it's going to pull the results. So here's the URL. It gives you the URL that was used. So you can actually take that URL and put it into your app. It gives you response headers. And then here, it gives you the response body. It gives you the exact data set that was returned. Now, as a developer, if all you're looking for is trying to figure out what this API is doing, what kind of data this is returning, if this is even the API you want to use or not, here, in less than 5 minutes, you've actually made the call, and you know if this is the API you want to use or not. So IODOX is a great way to explore and experiment when you're getting started with an API. Now let's try one more. Let's say I want to explore Edmunds vehicle API. So here are all the endpoints that Edmunds is supporting. And let's say I want to search for a vehicle by model and year. So this specific method gets me a list of all make models by vehicle make, model, and year. So I'm going to fill out the make. Say I'm going to search for Honda Civic, the 2013 model, and I'm going to hit the try button again. Let's try it one more time. That for some reason is throwing an error. Let's try find by 1 second. Let's try something else. All right, that specific method is throwing an error. Let's try a different one. Maria mentioned peer index. So let's try peer index here. So if you're not familiar with peer index is a peer index is an API that lets you figure out how influential a certain entity is, depending on their activity on Twitter, Facebook, and some other social media platforms. So let's say I want to find out, switch over. So let's say I want to find out the influence data for Barack Obama, for instance, which is already pre-populated in this. So again, if you look at it from a developer mindset, you are not sure what this API does, all you have to do is you hit the try it button, It makes the API call. It returns some data. Now here, it's giving me a peer index score of 92. It gives me the peer index ID. It also gives me the Twitter ID. Now, based on that, I can find out more information about this user. I can find out what topics this user is influential in. I'm going to copy the peer index ID and paste it here. Hit the try it button again. Again, you get the API call that was made, and you get some more data. Clearly, he is influential in government and policy. He's also influential in healthcare. So you can use that to build some really cool apps based on influence data. You can find out what keywords a certain person is influential in, and you can power your apps based on that. So again, you can use IoDocs to quickly experiment with data. And all of these all of the APIs that are publicly available have their own IoDocs also on their pages available. So you can actually go to developer.tmsapi.com/io-docs, for instance, to get data, to get the same interface of an IoDocs on their portal. Now, TMS is Tribune Media Services. If you're looking for data, for entertainment data, from a television/movies point of view, this is a great API to start playing around with. You can get access to all the movies that are playing in local theaters, along with their theater timings. You can get station information. You can get series and movies. And they have a lot of data. So if that's what you're looking for, you can combine that with something like Rotten Tomatoes and really build a very powerful and complete app. If you want to learn more about Mastery, you can go to dev.mastery.com and start exploring more APIs. We have some developer tools that we have built that will help you get started with APIs. And you can get to those at mastery.github.io. And all the stuff that Microsoft has built using Mastery APIs would also be available on this page. So that could be your one stop for everything Mastery that you're trying to do. And that this will include the Microsoft stuff that you will see in just a bit. So that's that about Mastery. If you have any questions, I would be available. I think we'll have the slide going at the end if you're looking for my contact information. So with that, I will pass it over to Jim O'Neill, who is the Microsoft technical evangelist in the Northeast and was involved with the API MASH apps that Microsoft has built using some of Mastery APIs. So with that, I will let Jim take over.
All right. Thank you very much, Amit. And welcome, everybody. My name is Jim O'Neill. I am a technical evangelist in the Boston area, so I'm one of the, Maria's colleagues, and have also been working on this API MASH project along with the rest of our colleagues on the East Coast here. What I wanted to do was spend a little bit of time kind of drilling into one of the examples that we've come up with in concert with Mastery using the TomTom API that Mastery is provisioned, as well as the Bing Maps API, which of course is Microsoft's own. And what I want to do is use this as a jumping off point for you to discover these starter kits and learn how to use either this one or the other dozen or so that we have out there with more to come. So I want to walk you through that specific experience so that you can go off and start building your own really unique and cool applications. So to do that, I'm going to do mostly demo at this point. So I'm going to switch over to my desktop right here, and we'll go from there. Let me give it a second or two to load here. Okay. So hopefully everyone can see my desktop at this point. I've minimized my chat window. So how do we get started with this? So API MASH is all about us providing some starter kits, some code, some working code actually, that leverages a lot of popular APIs so that you can sort of just jump right in, start seeing how those APIs actually work under the covers, and pull out some of our code or add your own code into our starter kit so that you can create your own unique Windows 8 experiences and actually publish to the Windows 8 store. So the way to get started with all this is, first of all, get Windows 8 and, of course, get Visual Studio 2012. Both of those tools are and the downloads are available quite easily at dev.windows.com in terms of getting started with just the logistics there. What I want to focus, though, on is specifically the starter kits. So assuming you have your environment set up, the starter kit spot is on GitHub. So we have a GitHub presence for all of the 12 or so kits that are out there now, again, with more to come. I'm on the landing page right here for the GitHub starter kit spot, and you'll see a shortcut URL there that you can use, aka.ms/apimash will lead you right to this page. It will redirect to GitHub. And on this page, you'll see a zip file. So if you download that zip file and then extract it on your local machine, what you'll end up with is a directory that has, as I mentioned, about a dozen or so projects with more to come as we continue to develop these, of various different applications, both HTML5 JavaScript applications as well as C# XAML applications that leverage just a host of APIs that are out there. You'll see many of the MacTree APIs here, TomTom, Rotten Tomatoes that Maria was talking about, Edmunds, Active Access, and so on. And then you'll see some other ones as well, World of Warcraft, and who knew? Chuck Norris has his own API. So there is a starter kit for the Chuck Norris API if you'd like to leverage that and build your own experience around that. So when you download the GitHub repository, you will get all of the starter kits. Each one of these directories is its own Visual Studio project. So what I'm going to do is dive into the TomTom Bing Maps Visual Studio project, and as you'll see, there's a subdirectory of various different project types in there. So let me jump into Visual Studio with that project set up and loaded for us already. We don't really want to look at code quite yet. So if I look in Visual Studio, you'll notice that I have a C# XAML project for this particular one. As I mentioned, some of the projects are actually HTML5 JavaScript as well. So you can look at each of the projects on the GitHub site. There's a README that will tell you how that application was built, what APIs it used, and so on. The best thing to do is to just hit the run button when you download one of these starter kits. So I'm going to hit the run. I'm going to run it in the simulator inside of Visual Studio, and let's see what happens. This is probably going to be representative of the experience you're going to get. This is the TomTom Bing Maps API, and it really didn't do a whole lot. It looks like there's a bunch of errors here. And the reason that there are errors here is because to use these APIs, you're going to need an API key. Amit walked you through how to get sort of the Mashery API keys, and Bing Maps has its own portal for you to provision an API key as well. I'm not going to give you my API keys on GitHub, so you're going to have to get your own. Amit showed you how to do that for Mashery. What the first step is going to have to be for most of these starter kits is getting those API keys and inserting them into the application in the appropriate place. So let's just do a quick review of how do we get those API keys. So for the TomTom API, you can go through the Mashery site, and there will be a TomTom link on the Mashery site that will bring you to TomTom's developer portal for their own APIs. I've gone there directly, so I'm logged into the developer.tomtom.com site, and I'm logged into this site by virtue of having a Mashery ID, and you can see the Mashery logo up in the top right corner there. So having logged into the TomTom site, I have the ability to take advantage of a couple of different APIs that they have available. They have a Map Toolkit API that you can see here. They have a geocoding API, and they have a Traffic Cams API. For this specific application, I'm just going to use the Traffic Cams API. So I can go into the API Explorer here, for instance, and what you'll see is the same experience that Amit showed you for some of the other APIs, because this is actually Mashery on the back end. So I can run some of the different examples that they have available here and see what kind of data comes back. This is also where I will get my specific keys. So for the TomTom API, there's a separate key for each one of those different APIs. So this is where I would get the specific key that I need to plug into my application. Likewise, Bing Maps has its own developer portal. So the Bing Maps developer portal has a similar way for me to create or get my my API keys for Bing Maps. So with both of those keys available to me, I can now go back into Visual Studio and get the application working. So for most of the applications that you'll see, there will be a very obvious place in which to insert your developer-specific API keys. So in my application, app.xaml is a typical entry point for putting global type data. So if you'll notice the application out of the box, it will basically say, enter your Bing Maps key here, enter your TomTom key here. So what I need to do is actually pull in those API keys from those specific sites. And I have just a snippet here that I'm just going to cut and paste. So we'll cut and paste it here. Running, so I need to stop running before I can cut and paste. There we go. So forget those keys. Nobody used them. Let me run it again, and hopefully we'll get a slightly different and more interesting experience with the application. So here we go. So here's the app running. So what is it doing? So what it's done is it's actually made a couple of API calls, but really two primary API calls. You'll see on the right side, you see the Bing Maps presentation. And this is the Bing Maps Windows Store control that you can just sort of pop into any application. If you've used Bing Maps before, you may have used it in a web in a website. So there's a Bing Maps control for websites. There's a Bing Maps control for JavaScript applications inside of Windows 8 as well. Since I'm using C# XAML, I'm using the that version of the control. Over on the left, what you're seeing is a panel that's essentially listing all of the traffic cameras that are in the location of my current position. So I'm using the geolocation capabilities of Windows 8 to hone in on the fact that I'm in Cambridge right at the moment. And with the lat long of that Cambridge location, it can now make a query out to the TomTom traffic cameras API and say, show me all the traffic cameras that are in the vicinity of my current location and plot those on the map. So I've plotted them on the map here, and I can zoom in on the map. So all the zooming, all the map functionality, the pinpoints on the map, all that stuff is, you know, kind of free because it's part of the Bing Maps SDK. I just basically have to say, I've got something interesting to plot at this lat long, put a marker there. I can actually control what the marker looks like. I like the little circles with the sort of the numbers in them, but you can create whatever you want as a visual experience. And over on the left, you can see the list of the cameras with the information, the description of the camera as provided by the TomTom API. So I can select one of the cameras. Let's pick this one, for instance. This is on the Tobin Bridge. And what you're going to see at the bottom is the current camera image from that traffic camera. And over on the right, you see that pinpoint, that point of interest pinpoint on the map, has gotten highlighted. It's got a little bit of a halo around it. And I can do the other way, too. So if I want to see what camera 12 happens to look like, it will sync onto the other side as well. So I've got two primary APIs going on here. On the right side, I've got the Bing Maps. And the only real API call I've made at this point to the Bing Maps API is essentially, where's my lat long? Where am I at any given time? And over on the left, what's happening is I'm making a call to the TomTom traffic camera API, and the traffic camera API takes what's called a bounding box. So the map knows what the lat longs of its current view are. So I take that information, I pass it into a call to the TomTom API that says, just give me all the cameras that are in that view. So as I scroll out of the view, I've chose not to have it automatically update. I could if I wanted to, but I figured that was a lot of traffic back and forth across the network. So I actually have a refresh button capability there. So I can refresh at any time when I've gotten the map at the place I want it to be. A couple of other things that are built into the starter kit, there's the app bar at the bottom. So taking into account some of the Bing Maps functionality, I can add traffic flow on top of this, which is kind of cool. So if there is traffic in the area, and there's probably more traffic likely in the downtown area, although it's not rush hour. Oh, there's a little bit of traffic down in this corridor. Let's see if I can push the refresh here. There's a traffic cam right about there, somewhat close to the traffic. So it doesn't look like there's a lot of traffic on that road, but you get the idea. You can use sort of the mashing up capabilities, the traffic capabilities of Bing Maps along with the TomTom traffic camera, and kind of see, well, how bad is the traffic at that moment at that particular site. So I've got that built into to the app bar at the bottom, as you can see, and I can hone in on my current location. So this is all, again, map functionality at the bottom. The other cool thing that I've integrated into this starter kit is search functionality. So within Windows 8 applications, you may be aware that there are certain contracts you can tap into as part of your application. So these are sort of arrangements with the operating system to do a lot of heavy lifting on your behalf. So every application can tap into what's called a search contract. So if you tap into the search contract, you provide the end user a very consistent way to look for information inside of your application and also to discover information inside of other people's applications as well. So in this particular case, for instance, I could maybe search for another location. So let's search for, let's say, Portland. Okay, well, let me just put port in there. So you'll notice what's showing up here in the list right below the text box is a list of candidate suggestions for the search. So these suggestions are actually populated through the contract with Windows 8 based on a list of recommendations my application is providing. So my application has a little bit of knowledge of the space of traffic cams. So the application knows that there's a sort of a concentration of traffic cams in Portland, Oregon. There's a concentration of traffic cams in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, for instance. And so those are likely candidates for the answer to your search. So if I hit Portland, Oregon, for instance, it will automatically zoom me over to Portland, Oregon and show me those traffic cams that are there. Now, there may be traffic cams in other places that aren't as obvious as Portland, Oregon or Portsmouth, New Hampshire. So let's say I just want to enter, I'm trying to think of a place, let's say Aspen. Well, Aspen is actually on the list. Let's go with Springfield. So let's go with Springfield, and there's a ton of Springfields in the U.S., right? So this search isn't going to just list all the Springfields. I'm going to actually go out and perform a search using the search contract for Windows 8. And interesting that it's not finding any Springfields. We know there are Springfields in the world. Let's try it again. So what should be happening here? There we go. That's a little bit better. So what we're doing, we've just made a Bing Maps API call. And it's the same thing as if going into the website and basically saying search on maps for Springfield. So I'm getting all of the Springfields that Bing Maps has found for me, Springfield, Illinois, Springfield, Massachusetts, along with a kind of a little snippet of the map giving you context for where that particular Springfield happens to be. And now I can click on that Springfield and go in, see if there's any traffic cams in that area. So there aren't any traffic cams in the Springfield, Massachusetts area, but there are actually some if I just scroll down a little bit southward in the Hartford area. So what I'm getting at here is that this starter kit really has a lot of functionality into it. And it's really got really just map-specific functionality so far that I've shown you. We've did searches on the map. We've put pinpoints on the map. Those pinpoints right now happen to be associated with traffic cameras, but they could be associated with anything that has a lat long, right? They could be associated with Maria's, I think she said Zumba classes, right? I could do a search for Zumba classes, put those in the left panel, and show where they might appear on the map. I could use, there's another API from Mastery called Jambase that shows where live music performances are happening in your area. That could be overlaid as well. So hopefully this is kind of a generic kind of template where you provide whatever API you want that has a lat long component, and you essentially have a unique application built off of that API. So that's how it works. I want to dig just a step further into the code and what would you need to change? Where would you go if you want to pull in your own location-specific API and create a new application out of this? So let me stop the debugger at this point, and let's take a little bit of a look at how this thing is put together. And what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to go to my desktop because I have a few slides, and I'm just going to show them on the desktop to give you just kind of an overview of how this is put together. Go back to Visual Studio for just a brief moment and give you the higher level structure, and then we'll go back to that slide. So this application consists of three pieces. There are two libraries, and there is one application that is actually the store application. So the store application is the mainpage.xaml that you see here that has the map on it, and the left panel.xaml, which is the left side that has the list view and lists all of the traffic cams in this case, but could list whatever it is you're interested in. The design view isn't all that interesting at this point because there's really no data bound to it. You would see that at runtime. So the store application doesn't actually need to change much, because the way we're building these applications and the way you typically would build an application in Windows 8 is using something called the model view view model architecture. And through that pattern, the idea is that the visual aspects of your application don't vary so much, don't vary too much with the actual data that's underneath the covers. The visual aspect shows, determines what a list looks like, it determines what a pinpoint looks like, and so on. But what data that's actually surfacing, what happens to be in the string for the traffic camera name, doesn't have to be a traffic camera name. It could be the name of a supermarket. It could be the name of a movie, whatever. All of that is kind of provided as part of what we call the view model. So when you're building applications using this particular starter kit, what you really want to do is you want to build a view model that's going to surface your interesting location-specific data. In my case, I was surfing TomTom-specific data, but it could be something else in your case. So what's kind of unique and fun about this application is you don't really even need to touch the Windows 8 application. You can if you want to obviously tweak it a little bit and make it a little bit more interesting, a little bit more unique, but it will work without you having to touch that. The other two pieces of the application here are two libraries, so essentially assemblies. The first one is called API Mash, and this is really all the low-level plumbing. So underneath the covers, when you're making an API call, what are you doing? You're making an HTTP request. And if you're doing so with C-sharp or Visual Basic, you are typically going to be using a method called, in many cases, get async for a get request or a post async, but you're going to use a class called HTTP client. So HTTP client is the lowest level interface to a web service. It's what actually issues the HTTP request. It's where you set headers. It's where you get the response and that type of thing. So that's pretty low level. You can write your own HTTP handlers and that type of thing, and you can go directly against the HTTP API for your particular backend API if you'd like using HTTP client. But the whole idea of the starter kit was to kind of abstract that from you. But it's there underneath the covers. The way it's been abstracted in my case is through an invoke. So the idea behind the invoke is that you give invoke an API, a URL to an API call, so a URL at the developer TomTom site or a Bing Maps URL, and this invoke method will take care of invoking the API, parsing out the response, whether it be XML or JSON, determining if there's an error, those types of things. So it's kind of handled all of the HTTP dance for you, so that what you'll end up with is essentially a class that you've defined that has the data in it. Okay, so API Mash is another part of the solution that you typically won't have to touch at all, but it's kind of important to know what's going on under the covers. We've done a lot of the heavy lifting for you. Now, the interesting part, and the part where you will be involved in building your own application, is in the API Mash APIs library. So here is where I've put API-specific functionality. So what you're going to see here is you're going to see two main classes, or two main files, a Bing Maps and a TomTom. So as I mentioned, the Bing Maps API is really driving the map part of it and the search part, and then the TomTom drives that left panel. In your case, you're going to pull in a different API that will drive that left panel. So let's take a look at how that TomTom API is put together, that TomTom class is put together. So that's where I want to switch back into. Let's draw a little bit of a schematic, and then I'll show a little bit of code. So any API that you're going to use as part of this starter kit has this sort of high-level wrapper. So this is a class that you're going to define called, in this case, TomTom API, and it extends a class called API Base, just to give it a common ancestor. Now, the only thing API Base really has that's interesting in it, and that's unique, or that's common, actually, across all APIs, is that most APIs need a key. So we saw me getting the TomTom API key, by virtue of going through some of the Mashery interface, Bing Maps similarly. So most of them will have a key. So that's been abstracted. And in my case, you saw that I was saving the keys inside of the app XAML file. So you would have to decide, where's the key coming from and how do I want to provide it. Now, the other thing that's part of the base class here are individual methods that you're going to call on that backend API. So for the TomTom API, for instance, there is a getCameras method that I've created inside my class. And what the getCameras method does is it's just a wrapper for the core HTTP call that's going to go out to TomTom. So it's a wrapper that says invoke that API call, and with the results that come back from that API call, so those results that are going to come back is really just a big JSON string. So what I've got to do as part of this dance is I've got to take that JSON string and convert it into something that's got more of a structure to it, that's got more of a class structure to it. So the camera's model is essentially the JSON string that comes back from TomTom and overlaid into a logical structure. So each camera, for instance, has a description, it has a refresh rate, it has a unique ID. These are all elements of a camera that form what we call the model of that camera. So the model is communicated in JSON, and then what we do is we take the JSON and we sort of deserialize it into a C# class that we can use inside of our code. Now that model is sort of still the raw data from the API. It may or may not have everything I need or want to surface actually as part of my application. Now in this case, it's actually very, very close. So I can pretty much take each of the fields from the model and push it into another class that we call the view model. So in the MVVM approach to building applications, your model is sort of the core data and your business logic. So it's the data you might get out of your database or from a web service. The view model is the data that you need and only the data you need to present in a particular window of your application. So in my case, the view model, if you remember the left side of the panel, the view model is specifically the name of the camera and the description. And I don't really use the refresh rate in that display, so that's not part of my view model, so I kind of drop that off. So going from model to view model allows me to massage kind of the raw data that I get back from the API into something that's usable right then and there for the specific view that I'm trying to talk to. Now, this view model, camera view model, is for one specific camera, right? So, but I'm getting a bunch of cameras. So the other piece to this is that there's actually a collection of these individual cameras, and that's where this this concept of this observable collection comes in. So what happens is I have a API-based class that has, again, this view model, and that view model just is a list of all the cameras. All the cameras have data that they ultimately got from the underlying API. So a little bit hard to absorb. Once you start playing with it, it should become fairly clear. But the key part here is that all of your API implementations will have four or perhaps more classes depending on the different types of view models that that API might expose. Here I'm just doing traffic cams, so there's only one essential API that I'm calling, but TomTom had a geolocation API, it may have had a routing API. Each one of those would probably demand another model class and another view model class. So this is sort of the simple bare bones case. So I've got four classes here that I've implemented. If you wanted to take this and maybe use the Active Access API, you would also create four classes that are very similar to this that have obviously slightly different implementation because the data you're going to get back is going to be different from those different APIs. So let me go into the code and sort of show you a little bit around in the structure of that particular module. So here's API TomTom.cs, and I've collapsed everything for you. Let me see if I can actually try to put both of these up at the same time. It's going to be a little tough, but you can see here that here's the TomTom API at the bottom, and that's the big sort of the enveloping class that essentially is going to be used to data bind to your specific UI. So if you're familiar with the way C# XAML works, I'm using the TomTom API class here, an instance of this class here, as the data context for that left side panel. And by virtue of it being the data context, I now have access to all the pieces inside of it, and I can bind individual pieces of that to the UI as appropriate for my particular case. So the TomTom API base here, you'll notice it has the key, and also there's the getCameras call. So there's the implementation of getCameras. So this is actually going out and calling that generic invoke method. So We saw underneath Invoke, we actually made the HTTP request call. And then it's taking the responses, and it's taking the model data, that's sort of the raw data that was JSON, and then pushing it into the view model data. So the view model data is what I really need to bind to my specific user interface. So what you'll end up doing in your API calls or your APIs is you'll create a class that's API based, and you'll write your own individual methods that correspond more or less one-to-one with the underlying methods exposed by your API of choice. So you can see I called get cameras, and that corresponded to this URL request underneath the covers. And then if we go up a little bit higher, what you're going to see here is the model class. So the model class here is the C# class that corresponds to the data that's getting the raw data that's getting returned from the API. So in this particular case, the raw data that came back from the API was JSON data. And what I had to do, either manually or through some tooling, there's some tools available inside of Visual Studio to do this, and there's some open source web tools as well, to create a class definition based on a big string of JSON or XML. So I didn't invent this. This is the structure of the JSON that's coming back from the TomTom API. So I had to essentially create a class that reflected that. So as you can see, the model data that I'm getting back from the TomTom API includes these particular pieces of information. The ID, the name, the orientation, the refresh rate, city code, provider, lat long, zip code. Now the view model, what I need to actually display in my application, is a subset of this. So what we do is we take the model and we create a method called populate view model that extracts only the pieces that are of interest to us from the model and creates essentially a new class that's typically a subset of the model class, maybe with a little adornment, but gives me exactly what I need for my particular UI, for my particular window. So that's what the populate view model methods will do in this particular framework. So my model class is there. Now that populate view model will now populate another class that again is the exact type of information that I need for my particular display. So in this case, I needed the sequence number, which is just a number from 1 to n. So the sequence number is the pin number that you see on the map. I do want to keep track of the camera ID. It's good to have a unique ID for everything in a list. There's the name, there's the orientation. Those are taken directly from the model. There's a refresh method that's taken directly from the model, and then there's a couple of other methods as well that I am creating from scratch. So distance from center, how far is it from the middle of the map? That's something that I've added to the view model that wasn't part of the model. So I've created a new property that I need to help display the map and display the data in a pleasing way to the end user. So the view model is the piece of information that actually gets tacked into the UI. All right. So let's go into the UI. And what we'll see here is I mentioned we didn't really have to touch this application. I kind of lied a little bit. The one piece of the application you do have to touch is the left panel. So the left panel is the list of traffic cams, for instance, or a list of any type of view model information that you're getting from your API. So if I look at that code in Visual Studio, what you will see here is a bunch of stuff that's kind of expanded that I didn't expect to be. Hang on here. So this is a user object that will essentially display any list of data. So there are inside this application and primarily inside this particular file a bunch of to-do flags. So if you did a search on the solution for to-do, T-O-D-O colon, you will see all the entry points where you need to essentially insert code that's unique to your particular application. This is one of them. So what you're seeing here is we're using the view model of this particular panel, and we're associated with the TomTom view model that I just walked through. So in your case, if you want to bring in Active Access or some other view model, what you'll end up doing is essentially creating a class called, let's say, Active Access API That class, just like my TomTom view model, will extend API base here over on the left. And then you will create the implementation to talk to that particular API. Create a view model of information you want to surface in turn inside of this left panel user control. And everything else will just kind of magically work underneath the covers through data binding and in the fact that we have set up a default view model here. So there's only a few places in here that you have to make some changes. So they're all specific to the API calls that you're going to make. So in this line, for instance, there's a list of cameras, but when I select an item from the list, I have to make another call to get the specific image. So that's that call that you see there. So if you scroll down, you'll see that there's probably maybe a dozen lines of code that are specific to the API. There is a ton of code in here that is generic and manages the sort of the choreography between the list items and the map. But that's not going to change because it's just an item on the map. What's going to change is the specific text and the specific images and so on that you might pull in from your API. But as I'll show you down here, there is a bunch of code that is never going to change because it is, again, sort of generic to items in a list and selecting an item in a list and plotting it on its lat long on a map. So fairly easy to get started with this. There's a little bit of learning curve in terms of understanding the architecture, but once you understand the architecture and these concepts of data binding and models and view models, each of the starter kits is really going to just sort of the light's going to come on, I guess, and you're going to understand how each of these starter kits works and how to really either take information out of those starter kits and add it into your own application or perhaps build your own application around the starter kit. You kind of have two different approaches there. This one is really more set up to bring your own API inside of the starter kit because all the infrastructure for the map and so on are there. So that's an introduction to this one. As I mentioned, if we go back to the list of extracted files from GitHub, you'll notice that there's a dozen or more of these focused on some of the Mastery APIs and also other ones as well, earthquakes, and we sort of talked about Chuck Norris as well. I'm sure that's probably going to be a popular one since everyone's kind of intrigued as what a Chuck Norris API we could possibly do. But there is an app in the store that that does it courtesy of Bob Familiar. So with that, let me jump back to the presentation, and let's just do a quick wrap-up of sort of next steps. So get back into the slides here. That was a lot of sort of technical information, maybe a lot to get your head around. There are a lot of resources we have available for you to sort of help you on your way. Amit gave a great overview of the Mastery API and how Mastery works under the covers. Dev.mastery.com will sort of give you the laundry list of all the APIs that they are helping curate. Spend some time and brainstorm. See what's out there. Maria gave you some examples of mashing up a couple of different APIs, Rotten Tomatoes and Active Access and mapping and so on. You'd be surprised at how you can pull these together and make some really compelling and unique experiences. So use that as sort of your sounding board in terms of figuring out what kind of application you might build. The next link is the same link I showed you to the GitHub site, aka.ms/apimash. So that will get you the download of all of the starter kits so you can get started. The link below that, same link with just CH9 on the end of it, is our Channel 9 presence. So Channel 9 is a Microsoft site that has a lot of videos on various different topics. We have an API MASH page on that site right now. It's a little lean at the moment because this is our first webcast, but we've got four in this series, and we also have a number of shorter screencasts that we're going to be doing along the 5-10 minute line that are going to go into each one of the individual starter kits. So I spent a lot of time on the Bing Maps TomTom. We'll spend a shorter amount of time on each of the other individual ones, and the evangelists that were behind those can explain kind of how those work and how you might expound upon those to create your own experiences. So API MASH Channel 9 is a great landing place to find those videos and also to find links to other things that we're doing as part of live events as well. So we're doing a number of live events. When I say live event, I'm just meetups. We're doing workshops in our local offices around the region. To keep track of that and to find out where we're going to be next, and also to find out where your own community is meeting. We've got a number of Windows 8 meetups that are meeting, Windows Phone meetups that are meeting throughout the country and throughout the East region. Go to bit.ly/meetwin8, and you will see a list of all of the meetups that we are essentially hosting. And through those meetups, you can learn about opportunities to do hands-on workshops like the API MASH, and also some of the gaming workshops we're doing as well. And if that's not enough links for you, let me leave you with one last incentive. One of the things that we are offering through the end of June, so we've got 25 days now, is the Keep the Cash program. So through the Keep the Cash program, Microsoft is actually paying you $100 for every app that you build that gets accepted into the Windows Store. Up to 10 apps. So you can build 10 different Windows 8 applications. Of course, we have 12 starter kits, so you have plenty to choose from. 10 different applications. As each of those applications gets accepted into the store by June 30th, you will get $100 for each app. So that's up to 1,000. And if you're really keen to do so and have a lot of spare time, you can do the same thing for Windows Phone. So some of these applications, some of these starter kits could be adapted for Windows Phone. You perhaps could build a Windows Phone version of the API, of the TomTom Bing Maps API mashup, and then get another $1,000 for 10 apps in the Windows Phone store as well. So that's $2,000 that you could make in the next 25 days. So hopefully we've given you a lot of the raw materials to do so. And if you do have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us through your local evangelists, through the meetup groups, and of course on the Facebook page that you're watching this from right now, there is a comment section as well. We'd love to hear what you think about the program, how we can make this better, how we can be more effective at helping you build applications and get you into the Windows Store. So with that, and on behalf of Maria and Amit, I'd like to thank you all for joining and for your attention, and we look forward to seeing you in the store, if not in person. Have a great rest of the day.